Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Time to open up the Junkies sports page.
Brought to you by my good friends over at Malloy. It's my favorite team, the all-new Malloy Chevrolet of Alexandria, where huge spring incentives mean lower prices for you on your favorite model. So head on over, ask for my buddy Josh Cochran. He's the GM. Make it Malloy. It's Malloy.com. So obviously, last night was the NBA draft. We kind of recapped it quickly in the opening segment, but we can kind of get more into it now. We have some audio we're going to play here in a second. But Cooper Flagg, of course, goes one to the Dallas Mavericks. Cooper Flagg, the Vegas sportsbooks had Cooper Flagg at -100,000 to go number one overall. So you could bet $1,000 to win $1. I think Wembanyama also was about the same odds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to bet Cooper Flagg going to the Dallas Mavericks, you had to put up $1,000 to win $1.
It was cool to see the family there. And again, we talked about it leading up to it, but my brain kind of explodes when I think about the twin brother that's not nearly as gifted.
He's going to Maine. Going to Maine, right?
Where the mom went, and the older brother is playing there currently.
Yep.
And you know, whole family tradition of going to Maine, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Not to be diminished, but when you're literally your identical twin brother is Cooper Flagg, and he's going to be a billionaire athlete, and you're like Mr. Maine. I don't know, it's just weird. Like, how did it skip over?
Like, I'm trying to think of other twins. I mean, Horace Grant and Harvey Grant were different style players, but they were both very good.
Were they identical twins?
Too? Yeah.
They were definitely twins. Oh, yeah. They were identical.
And they were both pros.
The Collins twins.
Yeah.
They were similar type players. The Lopez's, I don't know if they're identical. Brooke and Robin.
Yeah, I mean, they've been twins. But, I mean, this is definitely not going to be a twin situation.
I know.
Situation where one's literally nubs.
Yeah.
I mean, not relative to the rest of the population.
Well, could he rise up and become an NBA player?
I doubt it.
Yeah, but they're fraternal twins.
I thought they were identical.
No, they're fraternal twins.
All right, so that makes more sense. I kept going on the identical twin thing.
Oh, yeah. The different DNA.
Yeah, like all right, so different brothers. DNA. All right, makes sense. Now my hip. So
one of them has the mom's DNA and the dad's
DNA. I don't know. Somehow it's different.
I mean, Drab is raising twins. They have differences.
I don't know what Drab's twins are. I honestly don't know.
I have identical twins that share the same DNA. Fraternal twins are just like regular brothers.
Right, but even though they're identical, I'm saying they have different personalities and traits.
Sure, sure.
But no, he's just talking about talent.
Just like from a talent perspective. And by the way, if you type in Cooper Flagg twin, like identical twin comes up all over the place. So I got confused. I thought they are identical, even though when you look at them, they don't look identical. They look a little different.
I mean, really, pretty amazing. It's a la LeBron James in that you'd been kind of hearing about Cooper Flagg for a couple years when he's in Maine. Then he goes to play with Derek Queen in Florida, then he goes to Duke, and he's just been successful throughout. Like, there hasn't been a drop-off. I think Billis was talking about pressure with him, and I hadn't thought about it that way. But, yeah, there's pressure when you're the number one guy from when you're 16 years old, and he continued to be the number one guy.
Yeah. And just super impressive.
It's going to be interesting to see how he plays in the NBA, at the NBA level, and he's got some really good future Hall of Famers that he'll be playing with and learning from.
I think he'll be pretty good. All I could think about was some of the guys knocking him coming into the draft, you know, like some of those podcasts. But when you watch the highlights, I don't know what those guys are seeing. He looks like he's going to be the real deal.
Yeah, it's hot take central is what that is.
Yeah.
So Flagg, Harper goes to the Spurs. VJ Edgecombe, the Bahamian, goes to Philly. Con Canupo goes to Charlotte. Of course, we talked about Ace Bailey. He went one spot ahead of the Wizards. He goes to the Jazz. And then Trey Johnson out of University of Texas, 6'5", probably 195 pounds, a shooter. Really good. Seems like a really good kid.
Shot almost 40% on three-pointers.
Yep.
Averaged basically 20 points during his only season in Texas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so GM Will Dawkins was asked about Trey Johnson and kind of rebuilding this roster going post-draft.
Oh, what clip number?
Oh, I'm sorry. One.
Obviously, you're focused on building the Wizards today, but the Thunder did just win the championship. You were a big part of building what their team has done, and you're building a young, similar core that was like at the early stages there, here. So So in terms of building that young core, how good do you guys feel about where it is adding these two guys to the young people you're already building with here right now?
Yeah, first off, congratulations to the Thunder. Good to see the city and everybody that I work with get an opportunity to celebrate that. My family back in Oklahoma was definitely proud and happy and at the parades and all that stuff. But I think every rebuild is different. Every timeline for each team is different. And we're running our own race. And that's the most important thing for us and for everybody to understand here in D.C. And through the first three drafts, it's only been 2 years, a couple weeks since myself and Michael have really been here. We feel confident in the players that we have to just grow at their own time. And adding Trey and Will, they're like-minded players. They have some versatility. They're compete. They're going to get after it. And we're going to give them the same runway that we've given all of the other players that we've drafted to work on their craft. And when it's time for them to play, they're going to play and get a lot of minutes here.
Thank you. Obviously.
So, we kind of talked about it yesterday. You got to give him time. I mean, he's only been here a couple of years, and he's drafted some really young players. He's acquiring veterans with expiring contracts, so you have to kind of see what direction they're going in. And obviously, the youth is the core of this team, so the Alex Sars and the Koulibalys, the A.J. Johnsons, now the Trey Johnsons of the world have to become legitimate.
He just hopes one of these guys, really just one of these guys, makes like this huge leap.
Yep.
You know, from Koulibaly, you've seen an incremental leap from year one to year two. It'd be great, because a lot of times when you see young guys get into the league that become superstars, they might not be a superstar right off the bat. They'll show some flashes, and then there'll be this big leap.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're hoping it's one of these guys, you know, and we'll see. I'm super high on Bub.
Yeah,
like, I think Bub could be, he could end up being the top guy.
Yeah,
and Bub, maybe it's going to be Trey Johnson. Maybe it's going to be, I know we have one listener that he's adamant that A.J. Johnson's going to, like, blow up.
Well, I mean, he's a freak athlete.
He could. You never know.
Got to see what happens. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the drafts of the past, there, I mean, superstars have been drafted 15 and below.
Of course.
You know, I mean, just look at some of the superstars in the NBA. I mean, Jimmy Butler was drafted 30th. I mean, you could get a really good player later in the draft. You don't have to get him number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we talked about Kendrick Perkins and some of the experts on the broadcast last night. This was Jay Billis and Kendrick Perkins giving their thoughts on the Trey Johnson pick.
He's an outstanding shooter, and he shoots it equally well on catch-and-shoot situations and off the dribble. He was 41% catch-and-shoot, 39% off the dribble. He gets separation. He's just a gifted scorer that is a natural shooter. He gets it off quickly. You know, he's got a wingspan of 6'10".
Quick release, yeah.
Quick release, and he's got beautiful form. And he really does a good job of moving without the ball. He can do it off of screens. He did it there in a pick-and-roll situation. But he's just natural as a scorer. I think he can improve his defense. But as you mentioned, Malika, he led the SEC in scoring at just about 20 points per game. The last two freshmen to do that were Cam Thomas and Brandon Miller. He had a 39-point game earlier this year. That was the most by a freshman in Division I. And he's 89 threes, also the most by a freshman in Division I. He had 15 games of 20 points or more. I think the main thing for him is to become a better defender and to get stronger, both of which he can do.
Yeah, and I had a lot of time. I got an opportunity to spend a lot of time with Trey Johnson. You know, one of my best friends was his assistant coach, Brandon Chappelle, and all-around great kid. Goes nothing about, it's all about basketball with him. But when I look at Trey Johnson, I see a lot of Chris Middleton. The way that he's able to create off the dribble, get separation, the floaters in the lane, and like Jay just highlighted, the best shooter, overall shooter in this draft.
So they love him. So
everybody seems to be very positive about it.
Yep. Interesting comp to Chris Middleton, because Chris Middleton is here.
Yeah.
Right.
So he can learn from the master.
I love the references to his work ethic, though. The guy loves being in the gym, just loves playing ball. I think a lot of those guys last night just loved playing ball.
So Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma went one pick after the Wiz. He went to the Pellies, the guard out of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And then kind of down the draft, Kaman Maluach went to the Rockets, but then was traded to Phoenix.
You could see how emotional he was, too. He's another one with just an incredible story.
Mm-hmm.
Literally just started playing basketball 4 or 5 years ago and, you know, had like a cab driver see him walking on the street and said, dude, you got to start playing basketball.
Right.
And look at how that turned his life around.
Absolutely. We gave props to the local kids. Derek Queen was drafted by the Hawks, but then traded to the Pelicans at 13. And then two picks later, Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown, he was selected. So, you know, you had some local kids drafted. And then in 18, the Wizards had the second first-round pick. They drafted Walter Clayton Jr. out of Florida, of course, won a national championship. And I loved the pick, but then, of course...
Well, they had announced before that
he was going to be traded to Utah.
They were trading the pick to Utah. So, I mean, I was just so annoyed by that because I had to wait another 20 minutes or so before I could go to bed.
Right. So they ended up trading Clayton for Will Riley, who was a freshman from Illinois.
Yeah.
6'8", thin kid, but, you know, they want to get young. They also traded him for a second-round pick because they had traded a second-round pick away. They acquire the 43rd pick and then two future second-round picks.
Is Riley the one they talked about last night that like made his debut and scored a ton of points in his debut?
I'd have to go back and look at the game log.
I thought it was him. Maybe it wasn't. But
anyway,
yeah.
So here's Will Dawkins explaining the Will Riley pick.
Riley pick, number 21. Originally had 18. Felt comfortable making that trade to move back. Was Will Riley always your guy in that range, and you felt confident that he was still going to be there at 21? Or overall, what was the reasoning behind that deal?
Yeah, there's a lot that you can imagine that goes on. We're fortunate to have a deep staff that can have multiple conversations with agents, multiple conversations with other teams, and we're just tracking our guys throughout the draft. Will's someone that when we first came in, we knew he kind of fit our profile. We spent a lot of time on the grassroots watching and seeing who he is as a player there. He was different than when he was at Illinois. I think towards the end of the season, when they had some injuries, they put the ball in his hands a little bit. And you can see who he was back when he was playing with UPlay and playing in Canada. So we knew the type of player he was. He was someone we were looking for. And again, it's our job to be strategic as possible, get the most value we can for the future, but also try to make sure we get players that we like. And that deal presented itself, and it was probably the best deal at the time that we felt very comfortable with.
With Will, you said he fits your profile. What specifically do you like about his game?
Size, versatility, high processing speed. He's, again, like I said, he's one of those guys who works. He had a massive growth spurt, and you just look at his face and his body, the way he's built, he's still growing. So he's somebody that we feel confident is going to come in the gym and push people and develop at his own time. But he has ball skills, he can make plays, assist to turnover ratio, and he's probably a better defender than people give him credit for. But we're going to test that out right away in summer league and make him go.
I mean, they're building a team with, you know, with some decent size to them. I like what they're building. Athletic, size, I don't know.
All right, not everyone loved the pick, though. Here's the analysis from CBS Sports HQ.
I'm going C-plus on this because this is an upside swing similar to what we saw last year when they took Keyshawn George. Will Riley, first of all, he's got terrific positional size. He's 6'8" and change without shoes on, so effectively he's 6'9". 32.5% from the three-point line, but if you believe in the upside, you believe that the shooting is going to click, and you're optimistic about some of the playmaking you saw late in the season for Illinois. So there's definite upside, don't get me wrong, but we're a long ways away. I mean, you can see physically, he does not have the frame, the physical strength to play through contact at the NBA level right now. He's going to need a lot of time, and I just don't know. It seems like they have duplicating parts right now.
I'm not big on Will Riley. I don't think he's the 21st best prospect in this class. I think there are guys on the board right now like Asen Newell, like Liam McNeely, like Danny Wolfe, who I think will prove to be better pros, better picks. As Adam said, it's an upside swing. There's no preventing him from being a really, really good pick, but you're trying to, at this stage, at this point, once you get to like 18 to 24, 25, you really get a sense of when you look at mock drafts in the days and weeks leading into draft night, how they become a bit of a dart throw because teams will trade into these spots very frequently, and the things that they are looking for from players in this spot, it varies drastically by franchise. And though we cannot know what every franchise is doing in terms of their overall draft boards, I guarantee you, although Will Riley went here, he might have been 3 spots higher on some teams' draft boards and might be 20 spots lower on another team's draft board.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll get John Fanta's thoughts on drafting these two young kids. I mean, they drafted two 19-year-olds, and you know, not everyone's going to love every pick, but, you know, Will Riley, he's young. And there's upside, just like the first guy said. I mean, there's upside on him, and he's 6'8". I mean,
you could say that about
6'9".
Anybody.
He's probably going to grow.
After they go from, like, the 15th pick on, you know?
Yeah, of course.
You know, just beauty's in the eye of the holder.
And, yes, you were correct in his debut against Eastern Illinois at 31.
Right.
And then the when they beat Xavier in the first round of the tournament, NCAA tournament, he had 22. He was 8 for 12 and hit 3-3. So he struggled in the next game against
Kentucky.
Pretty
well. Wasn't he? Did you say he was sixth man of the year or whatever as a freshman? In the Big Ten?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, pretty impressive freshman campaign. I'm fine with it. I have no idea if he's going to hit or not. No idea.
Probably not going to be a star.
I wouldn't expect a star, but I mean, just look, you know, can he play in the league? That's what you're looking for.
Yep.
Can you get a guy and play in the league for 5-7 years in, you know, in your program?
Mm-hmm.
I trust Dawkins until proven otherwise.
Hey, it is open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. You want to weave in a call?
Sure. Let's go to, let me see here.
Can talk draft, but you can talk about whatever you want.
These guys are hoop calls. Let me see here. Let's go to Jake in Fredericksburg. Jake, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hell, yo. Morning, Junkies. How you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, pal?
Pretty good, pretty good. I just got recently engaged, and then, you know, I just had a couple of questions for if I had a word of advice for my radio legend goats. You know, they got me hitting the skin schedule or something like that. But,
schedule?
Hitting the skin schedule.
How old are you, Jake?
30.
You're 30. How old is your beautiful bride-to-be?
31, I think.
31.
Yeah, 31.
You what think? Is the current schedule?
You know, just in the morning, listen to the Junks and then hitting skins and then going back to sleep for a couple hours.
That's pretty good, dude. That's kind of on the regular.
Yeah, on my days off, yeah, on the regular, Monday, Tuesdays.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, what do you do?
I'm a meat cutter at Costco.
Meat cutter at Costco, silly.
All right.
Is that...
Yes, yeah, so I'm always thinking about Lurton is prime rib eyes.
which Costco are you at?
Springfield.
All right.
Springfield, all right. Hey, listen, dude, congratulations. Don't worry about it. I think it'll play out naturally. How'd you meet her?
Tinder.
Tinder, nice. Did you hit skins on first date?
Oh, of course, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Marriage material. There you go.
That's right.
All right, congratulations, buddy. Enjoy.
She's the one.
Love you, John.
All right, love you too, pal. All right, enjoy.
All right, your chance to steer the show on an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. Junkies coming back with more.